Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Tes. We are in the middle of a sugya, so we're going to chazer over a little bit of what we did towards the end of the shir and actually begin on the bottom of Yud Ches Amid Beis. Just a reminder that yesterday we had brought down the Shita of Rabbi Oshaya. We pointed out yesterday, we'll see again today, there's a difference between Rabbi Oshaya and Rav Oshaya. And the Girsa from yesterday was Rabbi Oshaya, and he had explained that Rabbi Shimon argued with the Chachamim both in the case of the Yibum taking place before the birth of the third son or the Yibum taking place after the birth of the third son. Let's just remind ourselves of the case. Again, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. They're married each to a separate woman, not related to each other. Reuven is married to Rachel and Shimon is married to Leah. Reuven passes away. Reuven dies childless. His wife, Rachel, falls in Yibum to Shimon. At this point in time, there is no third brother. Two possibilities. Shimon has Yibum with the widow of Reuven, with Rachel. He has a separate wife, Leah. Then Levi is born. Rabbi Shimon certainly says in that situation, that's clear, in that situation he does not consider Reuven's widow to be an Eishes Ach Shelo Hayah B'Olam, because only time that Levi is around, he only sees her as Shimon's wife. He never saw her as Reuven's wife. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no problem if then Shimon dies childless for Levi to either do Yibum or Chalitza with either one of the two, either with Rachel, the widow of Reuven, or with Leah, the wife that Shimon had naturally, to do Yibum with one, and the other one is Pater. This is a regular case of one house falling, one brother passes away, and both of his two wives fall to Yibum Chalitza to the remaining brother or brothers, and he does Yibum or Chalitza to one of them, and that Pater's the other. That's clear. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The place that Rav Oshaya said Rabbi Shimon also holds the same way is even, same scenario, Reuven and Shimon, two brothers, Reuven married to Rachel, Shimon married to Leah, and then Reuven passes away, childless, Rachel falls Yibum to Shimon, but Yibum was not done prior to the birth of Levi. Levi is now born, and for a period of time, he is an Eishes Ach Shelo Hayah B'Olam, Reuven's wife, the Rachel, the widow, is not yet married. She's only Zekuka Liyavim to Shimon. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Oshaya, holds even in this situation where no lad the Acharkach Yavim, and then Shimon passes away, this too is the case of both wives falling to Levi. The Yibum was done, so both wives here fall towards Levi. And in that situation, Levi goes and does Yibum or Chalitza with either one of the two, and the other one is Pater. Then we brought down other scenarios, which got a little bit more complicated. What happens if he did Maimer? If he only did Maimer, he didn't do Yibum, and then he passed away. So in that situation, we said the halacha would be different, and that's what we're going to remind ourselves of today. So again, Rabbi Oshaya's opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that in both of these scenarios, whether Yibum was done first and then Levi was born, or even if just was Zekuka Liyavim, Levi was then born and then the Yibum took place, that in that situation, it's not considered Eishes Ach Shelo Hayah B'Olam. And the Gemara in the bottom of Yurches Omid Beis said, what was the reasoning for this, according to Rabbi Oshaya, that even in the case where Yibum was not yet done and then Levi was born, that's because Kosovar Yesh Zika Vizika Kichnusa Damya. Because in this situation, Rabbi Oshaya held that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that just being Zekuka Liyavim, that Zika, that attachment between the widow of Reuven, Rachel, and Shimon, that attachment occurred before Levi was born. So therefore, it's as if she's already married in Yibum to Shimon, and therefore there's no problem of Eishes Ach Shelo Hayah B'Olam. And this is what we'll pick up with the words Maskif Flor of Yosef. Again, we did all this yesterday. It's a little bit of Chazara, about 10 lines from the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis. So Maskif Flor of Yosef, Rav Yosef questioned this, and he said, how can you tell me that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that Zika alone is enough to make it that she is considered the wife of Shimon, and it's not an Eishes Ach Shelo Hayah B'Olam when ultimately Shimon passes away as well childless, and they both fall to Levi? that that's a perfectly good Yibum, he can do Yibum to either one of the two, either to Rachel or to Leah, and part to the other one, how can you tell me that that's based upon the reasoning of Yesh Zika V'Zika Kichnusa Damya? After all, Maskevler of Yosef, Hashta Zika U'Maimar, even if he did not only the Zika, but also did Maimar, Misaf Galele Rabbi Shimon is not sure, do we view this as Ichichnusa Damya, Ilav Kichnusa Damya? Even where Maimar was done, we have a question, what Rabbi Shimon's would be. Is that considered like an Eshesach Shalohay Abayolim, or is it considered that it's not a problem of Eshesach Shalohay Abayolim? He's Misaf Galele Rabbi Shimon, do we say Ichichnusa Damya, Ilav Kichnusa Damya? So how can you tell me that if it was just Zika alone, Zika Lechuda, Miboya, would you have that certainty that Rabbi Shimon would hold in that situation, it's a full-fledged wife? So where do we see that he's Mesafgale, even if you did Yibam and Zika? So that's my heed, the Gemara says, it's not. This is a Mishnah, which we have in Daf Lamed Aleph. And the Mishnah says, three Achen, Shlosha Achen, three brothers, that are Nesuin Shalosh Noshim Nochrios. You have three brothers married each one to an unrelated woman. So Reuven, again, is always married to Rachel. Shimon is married to Leah. And the third brother, Levi, here is born and alive, and is also married. He's married to Chana. Now, Umeis Echod Mehem. Reuven dies. We always have Reuven die. Try to keep things the same. Reuven dies. His widow, Rachel, falls in Yibam to both Shimon and to Levi. There's no Erva in either of those situations. The wives are all unrelated. Umeis Echod Mehem. Reuven dies. And now Shimon does Maimar. Right, either Levi or Shimon could have done this, but also Bosheni Maimer. We'll call the second brother Shimon. He does Maimer with the widow of Reuven. So not only is there a Zika, but there's also Maimer in this situation. And now, Nebuch, Shimon dies as well. So he has his one wife, his full-fledged wife, which was Leah, and then he has this wife of Reuven, Rachel, who fell to him, who was Zekuka Liyavim, as well as he did Maimer with her. So in this situation, the Mishnah states, Hare Elu Cholzos Velo Misyabmos. We don't allow Levi to do Yibam with either one of them, because maybe he really has to do Yibam with both of them, because there is no relationship yet with Shimon and Rachel. So Reuven's wife fell to Levi, and Shimon's wife fell to Levi, and he has to do Yibam or Chalitza to both of them separately. Or maybe not. In this situation, we consider that Reuven's widow is actually falling both from Reuven and is falling from Shimon, because it's not a full-fledged Yibam, and therefore still attached to Reuven, but at the same time there's an attachment to Shimon. And this will be a problem in terms of the Pasuk, Shinemar Umeis Achad Mehem, which we had this Pasuk many, many times, and then we skip again part of that Pasuk, Umeis Achad Mehem, Reuven Ein Lo, Lo Siya Eishas Ameis Achutzo Liish Zor, Yevama Yavo Aleha. So in this situation, Mishola Zikas Yavam Echad only can do Yibam if there's one person that is falling to you from one house. Velo Shaleha Zikashne Yavnim. In this situation, it's a little bit from Reuven and a little bit from Shimon. So therefore, you can't do Yibam with either of them, but you can't let them go scot-free. So you have to do Chalitza with both of them. And that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. And along comes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Omer, and this is going to be the question from Rabbi Yosef, along comes Rabbi Shimon, Miyabim Le'ezimim Shir, so you do Yibim to one of them, but you also have to do Chalitza to the other one. Chalitza Nishniya. Now what is the reasoning Rabbi Yosef is explaining, according to Rabbi Shimon, why you have to do Yibim to one and you do Chalitza to the other? So he says, to do Yibim to both of them, Yabume Tarvayu, low. You can't do Yibam to both of them because maybe the Dilma Yesh Zika, because this Zika plus the Maimer made it that it's Ois Reuven. Reuven's not in the picture and it's really both falling from Shimon. And if both of them fall from Shimon to Levi, when Shimon dies, so now he has two wives and only one of the wives can undergo Yibam or Chalitza and the other one is Potter. So therefore, to do Yibam to both of them, no, that would be a problem because maybe there is the Zika with the Maimer that made them into Shimon's wives. The heavy shnei of almost habos, and we turn to daf yutesu medalev mibayis echad. This would then be a regular case of a man having two wives. Nebuchadnezzar dies childless, and both wives fall. So you're only allowed to do yibum with one of them. So certainly you can't do yibum with both of them. So that's why you can't do yibum with both of them. Okay, so do yibum with one yavu michada, and the other one veiftar idach. Let the other one go out without anything. It's two wives falling from one house. You do yibum with one. The other one goes out scot free. Lo, you can't do that either. Why not? Because maybe the Zika and Maimar is not enough. the Domo Ein Zika Kichnusa Damya, because maybe in fact when Reuven died and the widow fell in Yibam to Shimon and Levi, and then he did Maimer, well, that's not enough to take her out of being Reuven's widow. The Duma ain't Zika Kichnusa Damya, and therefore, Bahavuluhu Shnei Yivamos Habos Mishnei Batim. And this is no different than a regular case where Reuven passes away and it falls Yibam to Levi, and Shimon passes away, falls Yibam to Levi. So therefore, you can't just say that one gets Yibam and the other one goes off scot-free. So therefore, can't do Yibam with both, and you can't do Yibam with one and pot to the other one. What do you see? You have to do Yibam to one and Chalitza to the other. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Miyabim, Leizimim, Shir. So you do Yibam to whichever one you want, and you do Chalitza, V'cholitz, L'shnei, and you do Chalitza to the other one. Now, Rabbi Yosef's point is, what do you see from here? That Rabbi Shimon is Misafkale. Alma, Misafkale, whether the Zika plus Maimar makes it into a full-fledged marriage or not. So if Zika, even with Maimer, he's Masafik, so therefore, certainly Zika alone, he would be Masafkale. So how can you tell me, this is Rav Yosef's Kasha, on Rav Oshai's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon, that the reason why Rabbi Shimon holds that even if Levi was born before the Yibum took place, in our case of the three brothers, Reuven and Shimon were alive, and then Reuven died, and only then is Levi born, how can you say it's because of the Zika that Levi is allowed to do Yibam to whichever one he wants, and the other one goes scot-free? You see that Rabbi Shimon is unsure. So there's a kasha on Rabbi Yoshaya's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Are you going to tell me, the chitema midaraisa hochanami? You're going to say, no, on a daraisa level, this is in fact 100% right. That they are considered, Zika is making it into a full-fledged wife, and therefore the relationship with Reuven is not considered here anymore, and she's Zekuka Liyovim to Shimon, and then when Levi is born, it's considered already that it's Shimon's wife, and therefore Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Yoshaya, is allowed to say that in this situation, we don't view this as an Eishes Och Shaloha Yobiolam, but we view this already as Shimon's wife. You're going to tell me that? That's true on the Daraisa level. The Daraisa Ochanami, the Miyab Mochoda Mifatra Choda. Yeah, that could be what Rabbi Oshai is explaining Rabbi Shimon. However, Umid Rabbanan, who the author, in that situation, it should be also on a Rabbanan basis. Why? Because Gzeiro Mishum Shema Yomru, because people may then come to say, they're not going to realize this is Kukali Yovam made her Shimon's wife, and they're going to say, no, if two brothers never pass away, and they fall to the third brother, you only have to do Yibam to one of them. Shtei Yivamos Habos Mishnei Batim, in a regular case where Reuven and Shimon both die, and their wives fall to Levi, so one might mistakenly conclude, Chodo Miyabma V'idach Mifatra B'v'lo Klum. In this situation, that it would be acceptable to you Yibam or Chalitza to just Reuven's wife, and that also would part to Shimon's wife. That could be a mistake that people could make. Chodo Miyabma V'idach Mifatra B'v'lo Klum. Aye, so therefore the rabbi said, don't let them do this, because it could lead to this concern. So Rabbi Yosef says, no. But that's not the facts. The facts were that because he did Maimer, not just Zika alone, it's because he did Maimer, the Rabbi Shimon says, that's why we're allowed to do Yibam to one, and the other one goes scot-free. The Tanya, Omelhem Rabbi Shimon Le'achamim, because Rabbi Shimon responded to Le'achamim, if you're saying that the Maimer that Shimon did to Reuven's widow, Rachel, is effective, so then, so now, this is considered that she's the full wife of Shimon, and therefore, when Levi does Yibam with either Rachel, who was the wife through Maimer and Zika, or he does Yibam with the other wife of Shimon, Leah, so then, that fulfills the obligation. And on the other one goes off scot-free. However, via Mamoro Shosheni ain't a Maimer, but if you say the Maimer is nothing, so then in that situation, we view her halachically as a Yavama who's waiting to be taken in Yibam from Reuven. There is no connection yet to Shimon, and therefore, Eishes Rishon Hubol, when Levi goes and has Yibam with her, he's being Miyabim, his brother Reuven's wife. But you see from here that there is no question of Zika. It's only the question of Maimer. Do we say Maimer works or Maimer doesn't work? But the Zika alone isn't going to be good enough. And that is the ultimate question that Rabbi Yosef asks against Rabbi Yoshaya's Shita, that Rabbi Shimon holds that Zika is good enough. You see, it's only Zika and Maimer that was a Mesafkele. How can you tell me that Zika alone is enough? So therefore, Rabbi Yoshaya must be wrong. However, this was Rabbi Yosef's point of view, but Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, but don't you make a distinction over here? Below Shani Loch bein Zikas Yovam Echad leZikas Shnei Yevamim. Why don't we say that this is a situation where it depends? Zika works as a full, powerful attachment when there's only one brother, so there's no doubt who the Zika is towards. But if there are two brothers, then, well, it could go to Shimon, it could go to Levi. In that situation, the Zika doesn't work. And that's what he's saying to Rav Yosef. Don't you distinguish, lo shani loch bein Zika shovim echel Zika shnei yavamim, Dilma, when, ki omar Rabbi Shimon, Zika kechnusa damya, when Rabbi Shimon holds that the woman who has an attachment through Zika is considered as if she's already married to that Yavam, it's only B'Yavam Echad, when there was only one brother, when there only was a Shimon. So then, when Reuven passes away, boom, there's a Zika to Shimon that makes it like it's Shimon's wife. And only subsequently, when Levi is born, so sorry, already in that situation, she's considered Shimon's wife and no longer considered Eishes Ach Shelo Bo L'Yolam. But that's only B'Yavam Echad. Avu B'Shnei Yavmin, but if there were two brothers, so then we don't say the Zika so strong low, because maybe it could be to Shimon, maybe it could be to Levi. And therefore, Rav Hoshaya's interpretation of Rabbi Shimon is correct. Because in our Mishnah, we had only one brother, Shimon, being born at the same time that Reuven had already lived and died, and Levi was not yet born. So the Zika took effect to Shimon, and it's considered like Shimon's wife already, even though Yibam did not take effect. And now when Levi comes into the world, it's considered like it's not Eishes Ach Shelo Hayobi Olamon, because he only sees this Zika attachment already with Reuven's widow, Rachel. It's considered the halachic wife already of Shimon via Zika. So that's what Abaye wants to suggest is the answer to Rav Yosef's kasha. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. Umi shani leila Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon distinguish between a Zika to one Yavam or a Zika to two Yavamim? Does he make a distinction that if there's a Shimon only in the world, so then the Zika takes effect? But if there's a Shimon and a Levi already in the world, then the Zika is not strong enough to take effect. Does Rabbi Shimon make such a distinction? But that doesn't seem to be the case, because we learned in the following Brayis of Otanya, Klalama Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said a general statement. Kol Shaleida Kodemis Lanisuyim. If Levi's birth, again, we have the three brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and subsequently Levi is born. So if Levi's birth, Kol Shaleida Kodemis Lanisuyim, took place before Shimon married through Yibam the widow of Reuven, so then, lo choletzes v'lo misyabemes. If Levi was alive when, in fact, Shimon had not yet taken Reuven's widow in Yibam, Levi was never alive while Reuven was alive, but he was alive before Shimon did Yibam, kol shaleida kodemes l'nisun. As long as Levi was born before Shimon took her in Yibam, then she is going to be considered an eishes ach Shalohayobi Olam, and therefore lo choletzes lo misabemis. Then when Shimon dies, neither does the widow of Reuven, Rachel, or the wife of Shimon require either Yibum or Chalitza. It's a Tzores Erva, the Erva being Reuven's wife, the widow, Rachel, who's an Eishes Ach Shalohayobi Olamo, and the Tzora Leah is a Tzora of this Erva, and therefore neither one lo choletzes lo misyabemis. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Nisuin kodem l'Leah, but if Shimon did Yibam with her prior to the birth of Levi, in that situation, they're both considered full-fledged wives of Shimon. There is no Eishes Ach Shelo Bo L'Yolam, and therefore o choletzes lo misyabemis. He does Yibam to either Rachel or to Leah, or does Chalitza to Rachel or to Leah, and the other one goes off scot-free. Now, doesn't seem to distinguish. This is a general rule. Klal Amari Shimon. So, my lab B'Yavam Echad. Even this case is talking about not only with two brothers, it's talking about even with one brother. And nevertheless, Uktani, lo choletzes lo misyabemes. So, clearly here, even though it's only one brother, and one would have argued that the Zika is strong enough with one brother, that's what you were trying to suggest, Abaye, and nevertheless, Uktani, lo choletzes lo misyabemes. So again, we're back to our kasha. How could Rav Hoshaya say that Rabbi Shimon holds that if Levi was born before the actual Yibam, that Zika was enough? You clearly see that it's not. So the Gemara says, lo, we're not talking in that situation about one brother, Bishnei Yevamim. He's still talking about when there were two Yevamim. In that situation, the Zika is not strong enough. Because it's not clear. Is it going to go to a Shimon or is it going to go to a Levi? And then when Yehuda is subsequently born, in that situation, we will say that it's still a relationship to Reuven. But if you're only dealing with one brother alive at the death of Reuven, so then it would be strong enough. So we restore Rabbi Shimon's Shita as understood by Rav Hoshaya. So more questions. This says, really? So you're telling me, Abu B'yovim Echod Mai, what's the halacha? In this situation, Hochanami, we paskin, that both of them are considered the wives of Shimon, and therefore, Ocholetz Domus Yavemis, is that what you're saying? So then, Ihochi, in that situation, Adetani Nisurim Kod Mileda, Ocholetz Domus Yavemis, instead of giving us the distinction between Rabbi Shimon, it's the saying, it depends when Levi was born. If you're going to learn it that way, so then, Ihochi, instead of giving me that distinction, Adetani Nisurim Kod Mileda, versus Nisuim coming after the Leda, and if the Nisuim were before the Leda, then you're telling me, oh, Choletz is Omis Yavemes. So then, instead of giving that, Liflo Lelisnei Bidida, then you could have had the contrast in the following situation, instead of introducing when Levi was born, just say, then that's Varmim, it would depend. Bishnei Yavamim, if there were two brothers, Levi and Shimon, that were alive at the time, and Yehuda was the one that hadn't yet been born, so then, Bishnei Yavamim, then, in that situation, you can't say that there's a Zika to one versus the other. And then Yehuda would be considered, when he's born, as an Eishes Hak Shelo Yovei Olamo, in regards to Reuven's widow, Rachel. And in that situation, you wouldn't be able to do Yibum or Chalitza, because it would be an Erva of Eishes Hak Shelo Yovei Olam and the Tzaris Erva. However, that's only Bishnei Yevamim. Avo B'Yovim Echad, if there was only Shimon in the picture, so then the Zika should take effect according to the way you're understanding it, and that's what the case should have been. You should have said the difference should be between Shnei Yavamim versus Yavam Echad. And in Yavam Echad, Ocholetz is almost Yavamis, because it's considered full-fledged Shimon's wife, and then when Shimon dies, Levi can do either Yivam or Chalitza with either one of the two. But you didn't give that case. You said instead it's depending on whether Levi is born before or after the Nisuin. So therefore, that again disproves Rabbi Oshai's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Are you going to tell me Kulo Bishnei Yevamim Komairi, that we're dealing over here when there was originally two Yevamim, that Reuven died and there was a Shimon and a Levi, and only ultimately are we dealing with a Yehuda being born? And that's where Rabbi Shimon says it depends. If one of the brothers, Shimon or Levi, did Yibam, so then when Yehuda is born, it's not considered Eishes Hak Shelo Yovei Olam. But if they didn't do Yibam or Chalitza with Reuven's wife, so then it is considered an Eishes Hak Shelo Yovei Olamo if Yehuda is born first. So where it says no, then Ella my Klola. So then what Chiddush is there by Rabbi Shimon saying this is a general rule? His general rule seems to make no distinction between one Yavam versus two Yavams. And then again we're stuck. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi's Kasha on Rabbi Yoshaya is in fact a good kasha, and you can't learn the way Rabbi Oshaya wants to learn Rabbi Shimon, that it doesn't make any difference whether Levi was born either before or after the Yibam. No, that's not true. In fact, Rabbi Shimon's Shita is only if Levi is born after the Yibam took place, is it not a problem of Eishes Hak Shelo Yovei Olamo? The Chachamim say, even there it is a problem. And it's in a situation where Levi is born before the Yibam, even Rabbi Shimon is moda that it's an Eishes Hak Shelo Yovei Olamo. So that's the first proof against Rabbi Oshaya, his understanding of Rabbi Shimon. But we're further going to slug it up with the Ode Mosif Rav Oshaya. Here we're going to have Rav Oshaya slugging up this understanding of Rabbi Oshaya, his understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Again, we pointed this out several times yesterday and today as well, that Rav Oshaya is different than Rabbi Oshaya. And Rabbi Oshaya is the one who interprets Rabbi Shimon Shita is saying it doesn't make a difference when Levi is born because of the Zika, that it's considered as if Shimon is already married to her, even though they didn't do Yibam. And it's the Chacham that disagree with that. That's Rabbi Oshai's opinion. But now, Rav Oshai is going to slug that up as well. And he says, what about the following case? And this will slug up Rabbi Oshaya. Shlosho Achin, you have three brothers. Two of them, Shnayim Mehem Nisuim Shtei Achoyos. you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, who are sisters. Here they're sisters. So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Reuven married to Rachel, sister one, and Shimon is married to Leah, sister number two. And then this Mishnah says, this is a Mishnah that we have on Daf Chav Ches Omud Beis. This Mishnah says, oh, alternatively, that's the way we're going to understand this right now, it doesn't have to be two sisters. It could be that Reuven is married to a woman, and Shimon is married to that woman's daughter. So it's Isha Ubita. Rachel in this situation is the mother, and Leah is the daughter. Again, the same prohibited relationship would occur, that you can't do Yibam with both of them if they both fall to you, because you would have the problem of a woman and her daughter. Or, alternatively, that's the way we understand this right now, O Isha Ubas Bita. It could be that Rachel is the grandmother, and Leah, in this situation, is her daughter's daughter, or Oisha Ubasmina, or Rachel is the grandmother, Leah is her son's daughter. So again, Reuven and Shimon are married to women that you couldn't be married to together. Either they were two sisters, either it's a mother and a daughter, or it's a grandmother and a granddaughter, and the granddaughter could be two possibilities, through a son or through a daughter. And in all of these situations, this Mishnah tells us, Hare Elu Chotzos, below Miss Yabmos. You're only allowed to do chalitza in this situation. You cannot do yibum. Rashi explains that you do chotzos in this situation because in Mesu Hanisuin, if both Reuven and Shimon die, so their wives that fall to Levi are erva to each other, either two sisters, a mother and a daughter, or a grandmother and a granddaughters, the two possibilities. They're Nofel Lufnei Shlishi, and they both now fall in Yibam to the third brother, so you're only allowed to do Chalitza, because if you were to try to do Yibam to Rachel, so then it's a problem because you are Zekuka as well to her Erva, and therefore you're not allowed to do Yibam to both. Velo Misyabos, Ho Vitarvayu, Rashi says, Zekikin Lay. Both of them, the two sisters, or the mother and the daughter, the grandmother and the granddaughters, are both zukukin to Levi. And kopoga bikrovos zukukoso. So you have a problem over here that if you do yibam with either one of them, it's a karov, a non-permitted karov of your zukukoso. And therefore, since you're zukuka to Rachel and you're zukuka to Leah, and they're prohibited to be married, both of them, at the same time because of the either sister relationship or the mother-daughter relationship or the grandmother-granddaughter relationship. So therefore, chotzos velo misyabnos. That's the Tanakhama's opinion in the Mishnah. Along comes Rabbi Shimon in this Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches, the Rabbi Shimon poter. Now, Rabbi Shimon says you are exempt from doing chalitza. You don't have to do chalitza. As Rashi says, af mina chalitza. Certainly can't do yibam for the reason of krovas zikukoso, but he says you don't even do chalitza. Now, here's the question that Rav Oshaya is asking on Rabbi Oshaya's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. If you, Rabbi Oshaya, in fact hold Kosova Rabbi Shimon Zika Kichnusa Dami, if you say that as soon as the brother passes away, his wives fall in Yibam, so as soon as Reuven passes away, his wives fell in Yibam and are Zekuka to Levi, so now Liabem likamaisa betipoter idoch. So then, in this situation, that Zika attached to Levi right away. So therefore, Rachel is now considered Zekuka liyovim to Levi. And then, when subsequently Shimon dies, sorry, it's already considered that Rachel is Zekuka to Levi. And therefore, the Erva, the sister, the daughter, the granddaughter, Leah, is not going to need either Yibam or Chalitza. So, according to you, if Rabbi Yoshai's understanding of Rabbi Shimon is correct, that Zika attaches, so then Isok Adaita Kazov Rabbi Shimon Zika Kichnusa Damya, so Liyabem Lekamaisa, you should be able to do Yibam to Rachel from Reuven, Vitipater Idach, and the wives of Shimon that fell to Levi should go scot free. They shouldn't require Yibam or Chalitza. Are you going to tell me, Omer Rav Amram, my poter Nami? Poter b'shnia. You're going to tell me that when Rabbi Shimon said poter, that's exactly what it means. It means poter b'shnia. Only Shimon's wives are poter, but Reuven's wife would require Yibum or Chalitza. Or it says, well, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Bishtayin. A Brisa says on this Mishnah that when Rabbi Shimon said Poter, it meant Poter Bishtayin. Not only does Shimon's wives not require Yibum or Chalitza, but even Reuven's wives don't require Yibum or Chalitza. So this interpretation of Rabbi Shimon is untenable. Are you going to tell me, Omar Rava, Shniyo Shebezug Zeh, Vashniyo Shebezug Zeh? Rava is suggesting that when Rabbi Shimon says Poter Bishtayin, he has a misunderstanding of the case the Gemara is going to explain. But right now, Rava is suggesting that, in fact, Reuven and Shimon were not married to just one pair of sisters, but they were married also to a mother and a daughter, and also married to a grandmother and a granddaughter, and a grandmother and a granddaughter. That, in fact, each of them had four wives. And therefore, Rava is suggesting when Rabbi Shimon is Poter Bishtayin, it means that, yes, Rachel died first, and therefore she's Zekuka to Levi, and that paters all of Shimon's wives. That paters Rachel's sister, as well as the other wife that Reuven had, which was the mother of the second wife of Shimon, as well as the grandmother, which was the wife of Reuven, and paters the granddaughter that was the wife of Shimon. So all of these women are considered Poter Bishtehen. The second, third, and fourth wives of Shimon are Poter. That's what Rava wants to suggest, that this means when Rabbi Shimon is Poter Bishtehen. And this would keep alive this understanding of Rabbi Yoshaya. Mark says, no, that's a mistake. Katoi Rava. Rava made a mistake over here. But Arba Zuge, he thought that the Mishnah was talking about that Reuven and Shimon were married to four wives. Reuven's married to the first sister, to the mother, and to the grandmother, and to the other grandmother. But that's simply not true. Because the Mishnah said, oh, Chada, number one, the O, K'tani. The Mishnah wasn't listening that they had four wives. It said either they were sisters, or they were a mother and a daughter, or it was a grandmother and the granddaughter through the daughter, or the grandmother and the granddaughter through the son. It's four separate cases. K'tani. So that's the first mistake that Rava made. And furthermore, he made another mistake. Rabbi Shimon Poter, the Arab Otomi Boile. Rabbi Shimon should have, in that situation, if Rava was correct, said that all four of them are Poter from Yibum Chalitza, from Shimon's wives, instead of saying Shnehem, Rabbi Shimon Poter Bishtehen. So therefore, this understanding is wrong, and we're left with a Shaila from Rav Oshaya on Rabbi Yoshaya's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, and that's a good proof against him as well. Furthermore, the old Tanya, we learned in the following Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Poter Bishtein Minachalitza Minayibum. The Brisa tells us when Rabbi Shimon says that they're Poter, it means they're Poter from both Yibum and Chalitza. Why? Shenemar, the Isha Elachosa Losikach Litzror. We said that you're not allowed to go and take two women who are sisters and have them be your co-wives. That means Bishaw Shinasu Tsaros Zu Lizu Lo Ye Lucholikuchin Afilubi Achasmihen. And he darshens this pasuk to say that you're not allowed to have sisters as co-wives, so if they fall to you simultaneously, so then you're not allowed to have Likuchin, you're not allowed to do Yibam even with one of them. So clearly this Brisa shows that Rabbi Shimon says that you don't do Yibam or Chalitza with either of them, neither Reuven's wife, Rachel, nor Shimon's wife, Leah, because there would be sisters that would be tsror, zelazet, litzror, and therefore that's not allowed. And therefore it's a kasha on Rabbi Oshai's understanding, Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the Zika makes it into a full-fledged wife. Clearly you see that it doesn't. So the Gemara says, no, that we can resolve. El Omer Ravashi, Ravashi says, Eden Ofel Bazeh Acharzeh, if you're right, if you had Reuven dying first and then Shimon dying, so then, according to Rabbi Yoshai's understanding, then you would do Yibum or Chalitza with Rachel, and then Leah would be patered. But that's not what happened over here. Eden Ofel Bazeh Acharzeh, you'd be right, Hochanami. Then he would allow you to do Yibam with Rachel, and then it would pater Leah. However, Hochma Yaskin, you know what we're talking about over here? The Naful Bevasachas, they both died simultaneously, and that's why you can't do it. But Rabbi Shimon Savalok, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Domer, Efshalit Samsem. And Rabbi Shimon says, like the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili, that it is possible for them to be exactly dying at the same time. And therefore, that situation, you don't have kamaisa, there's zakuka, there's this double zakuka, and therefore you can't do yibam with either of them because of the pasuk litzrar, that would negate this idea that you could do with one and then pater the other. So according to this, we haven't shlugged up Rabbi Yoshaya, but we still have the first shlugging up of Rabbi Yoshaya. That which we wrote, Rabbi Yosef shlugged up Rabbi Yoshaya, that stays, but Rav Oshaya shlugging up Rabbi Yoshaya, that does not stick. Now we go weiter. This was very tough, Gemara. I hope it was clear. And now we go weiter. We still, however, are discussing the case of Reuven and Shimon each being married, and then Reuven dying, and Reuven's wife Rachel falling in Yibum to Shimon. Now, we're talking about whether Levi was born before the Yibum took place, or Levi's born after that Yibum took place. Rapapa Amar, B'yibem, B'achakach Nolad, if Shimon in fact took Rachel, the widow of Reuven, and did Yibum with her, and only subsequently is Levi born, that's where Pauli, Rabbi Shimon, clearly Rabbi Shimon, everybody agrees in that situation, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Chachamim and says, if then Shimon dies, and Rachel and Leah fall to Levi, there's no problem of Eishes Och Shalom B'Yolam according to Rabbi Shimon. According to the Chachamim, there is still a problem of Eishes Och Shalom B'Yolam, and Levi would not be able to do Yibam or Chalitza with either of them. Rabbi Shimon would say, yes, you do Yibam and Chalitza with one of them, and the other one then is patered. But, B'Nolad, where Levi was born, B'Achakach Yibam, then lo poli. Here he disagrees with Rabbi Yoshai's understanding of Rabbi Shimon and says in this situation, even Rabbi Shimon would be moda that if Levi was born while Yibam had not yet taken place, we don't say that there's a Zika that makes it as if they're married, but no, in that situation, this would be a classical case, even according to Rabbi Shimon, of Eishes Ach Shaloh Yobi Olomo, and would not be allowed to do Yibam or Chalitza to either of the two wives. And the obvious question is, then why do you need two cases? Why, according to the Chacham, they need two cases? According to Rabbi Shimon, we understand why you need two cases. So Gemara says, even according to Rabbanon, you need to have the case where Levi is born after the Yibam, and you need the case where Levi is born before the Yibam. Even though both of them, according to the Chachamim, Levi can't do Yibam with Chalitza. Because this is a situation of lo zo av zu ktani. This is a style that we have. That yes, in the case where Levi is born after the Yibam, that's the bigger chiddush to say that this is still Eishes Ach Shalom B'Yolam. However, it also told me, Velozu Avzuk Tani. It also told me the other case, and this is a style that we have. It lists both of them, even though it was technically, if you have the case where he's born after the Yibam, we don't allow him to do Yibam Mechalitza if Shimon dies. So certainly, if he's born beforehand, we wouldn't allow it. So, Lozu Avzuk Tani. Fine. So we have Rapapa's understanding that there is no machlokis in the case where Levi is born before the Yibam, and we had Rabbi Yoshai's understanding of Rabbi Shimon that there's a machlokes even in that case as well. Tanya Kavasi the Rapapa. We have a brisa in support of Rapapa, even though we shlugged up Rabbi Yoshaya. Nevertheless, we have a brisa that we're bringing down in support of Rapapa's understanding that in the case where Levi was born before the Yibam, even Rabbi Shimon is moda. So this is a Tanya Kavasi the Rapapa, and it's also obviously going to be Utiyufta the Rabbi Yoshaya. It's going to another shlugging up of Rabbi Yoshaya. What is the case? Shnei Achim. You have two brothers that are alive at the same time. That's what it means by Olam Echad. You have Reuven and Shimon. Our classic case, the two brothers, they're married. Reuven's married to Rachel. Shimon's married to Leah. Umeis Echad mihem below Vlad. And Reuven dies without children. V'omar hasheni hazeh lasus maimer v'yivimto. So Shimon comes and wants to do maimer with his yivimto, with the Yivama, the widow of Reuven. Now it notices the lashon. He wants to do it. However, Velohispik Lasos Bomaima. We've discussed this in yesterday's year. Here's we're going to see what it exactly means. He wasn't able to do Mimer. He didn't finish off doing Mimer. He wanted to, but he didn't finish it. Achnolad Lo Och. And then Levi is born. And then Umeis, before he does Yibam, but after Levi is born, so then he dies. So now, both of the women, Reuven's wife Rachel, and Shimon's wife Leah, fall in Yibam to Levi. So the din is, Harishona, the first wife, meaning Reuven's widow, she can't have Yibam with Levi, doesn't need Chalitza, because Reuven was never alive at the same time that Levi was alive, and therefore she goes off scot-free. The Zika over here is of no value, and that's exactly like Rapapa said, and not like Rav Oshaya said, according to Rabbi Shimon. Because Levi is born prior to Yibam taking effect, and there was no Maimer that was done. So therefore, this is Tanya Kavasi the Rapapa and Tiyufta the Rav Oshaya. Ushnia, and Shimon's wife, Ocheletis, or Misiabemis. In this situation, she needs either Chalitz or Yibam, because we don't consider the Zika that Rachel had with Shimon to be significant enough to make that a, now that that Leah should be Tzaras Rachel, and Rachel is Erva, because of Eishes Achshloya B'Yolama. We do not consider that. So therefore, the Shnia, Leah, she now falls as a regular case to a brother that's alive at the same time, Shimon and Levi are alive at the same time, and therefore, Ocheletis or Misiabemis, she requires either Yibam or Chalitza. Ah, this is the proof to the opinion of Rapapa, and the Tayufta to the opinion of Rabbi Yoshaya within Rabbi Shimon. Now, the next case was also by Maimer. If in fact Shimon had done Maimer, the Achakot Naolach Och, and only then is Levi born, but Maimer was now done, or Oshinod Ladlo Och, or even if Levi was born first, but then he actually did Maimer, Yachar Kach also by Maimer, and only subsequently after the Maimer did he die, Vameis. In this situation, Harishona, Reuven's widow, Rachel, so Yotza Mishum Eishes Ochish Loya B'Yolama. Again, there never was a full marriage. There was only Maimer and Zika, not a full marriage. So certainly Reuven's widow, Rachel, there's nothing that Levi needs to do with her. She goes off scot-free because of Eishes Ochish Loya B'Yolama. So Rishona, Yotza Mishum Eishes Ochish Loya B'Yolama. However, the Shnia in this situation does require Chalitza, because after all, Shimon never really did Yibam with Reuven's widow, with Rachel, so therefore, Shimon's wife, Leah, does require Yibam or Chalitza, because she did fall to Levi, but at the same time, we don't allow Yibam because of the Maimer. So, Choletze, Svelo, Misya, Bemis, the Shnia, this Leah, she will require Chalitza, but we don't allow Yibam. We turn to your testament base, and this is where Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biyasa o Chalitzasa shalachas mehem, he says, no, the Yizika and the Maimer is effective, and therefore, in this situation, either doing Yibam, Biya, or doing Chalitza with either one of them, either with Rachel or Leah, Poteris Sarasa, would in fact free up the other wife, because he holds in this situation that the Maimer and the Zika is enough to consider it that it was really Shimon's wife. Cholatz Labalas Maimer, if he did Chalitza to the one who had Maimer, however, Lo Niftarot Tzara. So we now re-understand what Rabbi Shimon has said. V'yaso chalitza shel achas mehem. It's not achas mehem. It's only if he did it, in fact, if he did bio a chalitza to the balas maimer, so then in that situation, lo niftarot tzara, it wouldn't do anything, because maybe she still is fully Reuven's wife and not halachically considered as if she's already considered Shimon's wife. And therefore, only if he does it to Shimon's wife, then definitely, if he does it to Leah, Yibam Chalitza, so certainly the wife of Reuven goes off scot-free now, because either she's Eishes Ochish Loya B'Yolama and goes off scot-free for that, or if you say that she was in fact married to Shimon, so then her Tzara had Yibam Chalitza, so she goes off scot-free in that situation. So that's the understanding of Rabbi Shimon in case number two. The next case, Kenosa, if in fact Shimon married Reuven's widow, so Shimon had Bia, he had Yibam with Rachel, and now Mace, and then he dies, and subsequently Levi is born. Levi is born in that situation. But even, or even if Shinola Loach before the Yibam, Achakach Konsa, Mace, and then Shimon dies, so here Shteim Peturos Min Achalitza Min Yibam. The Chacham hold that both of them will be Potter from Yibam and Chalitza, because we still consider Rachel to be Eishes Ochish Loya B'Yolama, and doesn't make a difference according to the Chachamim when Levi was born, either before or after the Yibam, they hold no matter what. This is Lozu Azuk Tani. They hold that in fact there is no requirement, because the widow of Reuven ruins it for Levi. She's always going to be Eishes Ochish Loya B'Yolama. Doesn't make a difference whether Yibam was done before or after Levi was born. She still retains that status. And this is the opinion of the Chachamim, that you don't have to do Yibam or Chalitza at all, or either one of them. Rabbi Shimon would agree with half of this, as we pointed out from Rapapa. Rabbi Shimon would agree that if Levi was born before the Yibam, then he would agree that both of them stand to us Menachlis from the Yibam. But he disagrees, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Chachamim in the case where the Yibam took place and then Levi was born. Finally, fourth and final case here, Konsa, if in fact Shimon had taken Reuven's widow in Yibam, and then the Nolad Lo Ach, the Achakach Meis, and this is really a reiteration of the third case that we had, with the scenario that the Yibam took place before Levi was born. Here, shteim peturus min achalitza min a yibam. According to the Chachamim, which in this situation is divri Rav Meir, so this, again, was a woman who is always going to be considered eish yisach shelo hayobi yolomo, Reuven's widow, and therefore, now that they're fully married to Shimon, so Shimon's other wife, Leah, is considered the tzara of an erva, tzara of an eish yisach shelo hayobi yolomo, so Rav Meir, the Chachamim say, no yibam achalitza is needed. But here, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hol Ubo Motzo Beheter, since Levi never saw Reuven's widow as Reuven's widow, he only sees her as Shimon's wife, he wasn't alive before Shimon did Yibum with her, but Lo Omdo Olov Shoachas V'Yisr, so she was never asked to him as Eish Yisach Shelo Yobi L'Olomo, because she's already married to Shimon, and he's alive at the same time as Shimon, so then, Miyabin Lezimim Shiyirtsa, Ochelus Lezimim Shiyirtsa, so then, they both fall, Rachel and Leah, in this situation, according to Rabbi Shimon, both fall to Levi, and he does Yibum Achlitza with one of the two, and the other one then goes off free. Now, this fourth and final case, what was the purpose of saying this? If you're telling me it's a Rav Meir, so then it doesn't make any sense. The Chachamim, Rav Meir Shita, doesn't make any difference because they hold whether Levi was born before the Yibam, Levi born after the Yibam. Reuven's wife, Rachel, is always considered a Eish Yisach Shelo Hayobi Olamo, and therefore is always going to ruin it, and if they're married to Shimon, it ruins it for Shimon as well. So therefore, once Yibum takes place, this is a Tzaras Erva. And therefore, this case 3 and 4 were not necessary according to the Chacham, according to Rav Meir. It's only necessary for Rabbi Shimon. Ah, and there's a distinction between case 3, which we're calling the case where he's born before the Yibum, versus case 4, where he's born after the Yibum. So according to the Chacham Rav Meir, La'avinu v'listinu, they could have been listed all together as one, which is really what we had in this case 3. But Elalah the Rabbi Shimon, you need it for Rabbi Shimon, Ubi Yibim Yachakach Nolad Polik, when the Yibum took place and only subsequently was Levi. There Rabbi Shimon holds that in that situation we don't have Eish Yisach Shoyel B'Olam at all. So therefore, Benolad Yachakach Yibim were Polik. But then you see, in what we're calling case 3, where Levi was born before the Yibum, then even Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue, and this is Tanya Kavose, Shmami No, Tanya Kavose, to Rav Papa's opinion. Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue with the Chachamim, with Rabbi Meir, that if Levi is born before the Yibum, that even Rabbi Shimon would say, you don't have any ability to do Yibum with Chalitz anymore. This is Eish Yisach Shelo Hayobi Olamo. And it's only that Rabbi Shimon argues with Rabbi Meir, only in the case where he's born after the Yibum took place. Baruch Hashem, this is a very complicated sugya. Now we're going to go back and discuss little pieces of it. Amamar, we just said, Amar Hasheni Lasus Maimer B'Yimto, V'lo Hispik Lasus Maimer B'Yimto, that case which he said, he wanted to do Maimer, but he didn't do Maimer. Achenolad, Lo Och V'Meis, if Levi was born and then he died, so then, Rishon Yotzi Mishumesh Yisach Shelo Yobi Lamo, Ushtia Och Haletz L'Masi Yemes. In this situation, the Chacham hold that there's nothing there, he didn't do Yibum, it's just a Zika, they hold that the Zika doesn't have enough strength to go and exempt Shimon's other wife, Leah, and therefore, in this situation, you would be obligated to have Levi do either Yibum or Chalitza. Now, what does it add over here by telling us that he wanted to do Maimer and he didn't? My Omad Umay Lo Hispik. What does it mean? He wanted to do Maimer, but he didn't do Maimer. How does that seem to add anything to the case? Bottom line is, he didn't do Maimer. If he had, he avad, avad, he lo avad, lo avad. Again, either he did Maimer, he didn't do Maimer. What does it add to us by telling us he wanted to do Maimer, but he didn't? So Moses says, Elo, this is to come teach us halacha. Elo omad midaita. He originally wanted to do Maimer, and she was agreeable. However, velo hispik midaita. But then he did Maimer against her will, bal korcha, elo bal korcha. And in this situation, the halacha is, he's teaching us udalo karebi. This is not like the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion is, if you do Maimer bal korcha, it works. Just like Yibam works bal korcha, so too Maimer works bal korcha. Oh, the chiddush over here is udalo karebi. The Tanya. We have a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Also, Maimer b'yivimto, shalom midaito. According to Rebbe, Rebbe Yomer Kana. Rebbe says if you do Maimer without her consent, it still takes effect. The Chachamim lo kana. Chachamim say it doesn't take effect. Why? What's the understanding? My time with the Rebbe. Why does Rebbe say that Maimer can work even bal karcha against her will? Because he says, I compare it to Yibum. And ma biyod di Yivama bal korcha works, ab kidushin di Yivama bal korcha works. So Rabbi compares the Maimer to Yibum. Just like Yibum can be against her will, so too Maimer can be against her will. And the Chachamim, they say, no, we compare Maima to a regular Kiddushin. Rabban and Gamri, Mikiddushin, the Amma. A regular Kiddushin has to be with the woman's consent. Kiddushin, the Amma, Midaita. So too, Av Kiddush, the Yabama, Midaita. So Maima works like Kiddushin. And don't compare it to Yibam. Compare it to Kiddushin. And Kiddushin always has to be with the Das of the woman. So too, Maima has to be with the Das of the woman. So this Brisa is being Mechadish that we postulate the Chachamim over Rebbe. What exactly was the argument between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Mike and Mifli, what are they actually arguing about? So Mar Sava Rebbe holds that Mila de Yavama, Mila de Yavama, Havalei Lemelech, that you're learning out Yavama from Yavama. So learn out the dealing of Maimer, which deals with Yavama. So learn it out from other dealings of Yavama, i.e. Yibam. So compare a Yibam-related activity, Maimer, to a Yibam-related activity, Yibam. But the Chachamim disagree. Mar Sava, no. Mila the Kedushin, Mila the Kedushin, Avalei Lemelech. Maimer is like Kedushin, so learn it out from Kedushin. Just like regular Kedushin has to be with her Das, so too Maimer has to be with her Das. Now then it said, also by Maimer, if you do Maimer, Yachakach no Lelawach, and then a brother was born, so the Chacham held in that situation, but even even if he was born first, and then Shimon died, doesn't make any difference. They hold that in this situation, the Maimer doesn't add anything to it. So it's considered that the first wife, Rachel, Reuven's widow's wife, she goes out, and Shimon's wife will require Chalitza, but not Yibam, because maybe the Maimer did something, and therefore we don't let Yibam occur, but maybe it didn't do anything, so you have to do Chalitza. That's the opinion of the Chacham, we said. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Rabbi Shimon holds that, no, this, in fact, made her into Shimon's wife, and therefore the consideration that she was once Eshesach Shloi Yol B'Yamamo goes away. Now, both situations were mentioned here, whether Levi was born before the Maimer or Levi was born after the Maimer. So Rabbi Shimon, a high koi, is he going on both of them or is he only going on one? Now, we've already had this is a machlokas between Rabbi Yoshaya's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, which it goes on both of them, and Rabbi Papa, that it only goes on the case where he was born after the Maimer occurred. So Shimon Hekoi, Ilema Ano Lad Lo Och, that Levi was born first, and then the Maimer was done. Yachakachos of a Maimer. So then, Ha'amrus, we already said, Binolad, if he was born, Ulubasof Yibim, Lo Poly Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue. So certainly, how could he possibly be arguing over here when only Maimer was done? So Elo, Asah Bo Maimer, that we're only dealing here with a case where Maimer was done by Shimon, and only then, Yachakach No Lad Lo Och, that then the brother was born. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon is only arguing on the case where Levi was born after the Maimer. Then finally we said, Cholatz Labalas Maimer, if Levi in fact did Chalitza to the one who had Maimer, so then that doesn't do anything, because maybe that wasn't really a full marriage, and therefore he still would have to do something to Shimon's wife, Leah. So Cholatz Labalas Maimer, if he did Chalitza to Reuven, even though there was Maimer, Lo Niftura Tzora, that wouldn't exempt the Tzora, Leah, from needing something done to her as well, which would have to be Chalitza. Why? My Taima? Because, Mishum Dahavi Tzora Vadai. Because in this situation, Shimon's other wife, Leah, was definitely a wife, and Balas Maimer Sofek, and we're not sure if the Balas Maimer, was she really considered a wife or not. That was Sofek Mesafkalei to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore Sofek Motzmi Devadai. Therefore, the Maimer that was done might have made her into a wife, but it might not have. And therefore, if you did Chalitza to her, that can't remove the Vadai need for a Chalitza or Yibam that Leah would have had. Again, a complicated sugya, and now we'll go weiter. Yossi Rav Menashe Bar Zvid Kamei de Rav Huna. Rav Menashe Bar Zvid was sitting in front of Rav Huna, the Yossi Bekamai, and we said many times he was originally standing up when he asked the question. He was given permission to sit down to ask the question. The Yossi Bekamai, my time of the Rishimon. What exactly is Rav Shimon's understanding over here in this situation? How come, in other words, according to the way we understand Rav Shimon, Rav Papa's understanding Rav Shimon, that if the Maimer took place and the Yibam took place before he was born, so then Rabbi Shimon considers that a full-fledged wife. My time to Rabbi Shimon. Well, it says, Kedama time. We just said, he never found her in a situation where she was attached to Reuven. She was always attached in his lifetime when he was born already to Shimon. So therefore, so what's your question? So they say, that's not what Rabbi Menashe's question was. Rabbi Menashe Bar Zvid was asking in front of Rav Huna, Ela my time of the Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan argue in this case? After all, Taka, Rabbi Shimon is right. Lo amdo olav sho'achas v'yisr. So Rabbi Menashe says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Lukach lol isha v'yibma. He has to take it to his wife and be miyabim her. Adayin yibum rishon maleha. And here, the pasuk still refers to as the Yavama. In other words, Reuven's status, that she was Reuven's wife, even though Reuven died, she still is referred to as the Yavama. So even after Shimon takes her, she still is referred to as the Yavama of Reuven, and therefore it's Eshes Ach Shlo Yabe Olamo, according to the Chachamim. But wait a second, the Gemara says, we're going to learn in the Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Ches, it's going to say, Kinosa, that if in fact Shimon does take her into Yibam, she's his full-fledged wife. Harehi Kishtol Chol Dover. She's his regular wife. Farmer of Yosef Bar Chanina. Yosef Bar Chanina added, and we turn to Chof Amid Aleph, Lemalame, to teach us that she doesn't go out with chalitz anymore. If you want her to go out from that marriage, shemagarsha v'get, you need to do a get. Umachzira, and if he wishes to, he's even allowed to take her back afterwards, as long as she didn't get married to somebody else. Now, if your drush is right for the Chacham to say that she's still called the Yavama by the Pasuk saying the Yibma, so then we should say it in this situation as well. Hosanami Lema, the Yibma. She should still be considered the Yavama, and Adayin Yivumin Arishonim Oleha, V'Siboy Chalitza. And she shouldn't go out with a get, but she should go out with Chalitza. So if you're being consistent, that that's what it should come to. So Gemara says, no, shiny hasam, because it says there, the Yama Kwa Ulakocha Loli Isha, it also refers to as an Isha, given Shalakocha. So she's referred to as an Ishta. No, so then in that situation, so here too it should say that she's his Isha, and therefore it should not be the Chachamim's opinion correct. It should be like Rabbi Shimon, that if Levi was only born afterwards, she's already the Isha of Shimon, and the original status of being the Yavama Reuven should go away. So Gemara says, no, it does say the Yibma. So it says both. It says Isha, and it says Yibma. So you take both. Gemara says, why? Umara is. Gemara says, Mistavra. Shidei hetera ayatera. Ushtei ayisura ayisura. So you apply both. So in the status of Yibam, so she's still considered Yavama. But in the status of Isha, she's considered an Isha. So in regards to get, so then she requires only a get, and Nachalitza, she's an Isha. But in regards to the Yibam, she's still considered Yavama. And therefore, from Levi's point of view, it's going to be Eshesach Shalohya Biolama. Now, this was a quite long and complicated shir. I hope it was clear. But the beauty of the Daf Yomi is tomorrow we go on Vayta, and Mirtz Hashem, a new chance to go and learn and understand this a little bit better. With this, we conclude today's shir.